welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hi, Mama.
Did you know that we are entertaining?
We are. What are we entertaining with?
Yeah.
Entertaining ideas, entertaining thoughts.
I was just reading someone who was telling another person about us and said, you want to try Life with the Girlfriends. They are entertaining.
Oh, we're entertaining.
I love that.
I do, too. I think we are entertaining.
I actually do not mind being entertaining.
I don't mind being good. I mean, you've always programmed me to be like the Martha Stewart of podcast. Always be entertaining, you know?
Oh, Martha Stewart.
She likes to entertain.
Really? Oh, I see.
There's a variety of definitions for that.
I had to really reach for that.
There's a variety of definitions.
Yes.
So you know how last week I said, I don't know if I told this on the podcast or not, but I was really trying to, I don't know if I wore this with Edwin Gaines or just about like, you know, trying to control my emotions when driving. And I had confessed to you that I am the girl that anywhere else I am calm, I am sweet. You know, I try to go with the flow of life.
Yeah.
But when I drive in Chicago, my middle finger is perpetually extended.
Yeah, we do not understand that side of you. That's the Jekyll and Hyde side of you.
It is. I don't get it, but I go, oh, where did we hear that instead of saying, you know, I say,
give somebody the finger, you're supposed to bless them.
Yes, you're supposed to bless them.
Yeah.
You know, bless the situation, bless whatever is happening.
It immediately transforms.
It immediately transforms. Bad stuff happens to even the best Buddhists out there, but they immediately transform it because they bless every situation as a blessing. So you take every situation as a blessing. And I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. So that's what that means.
That's interesting. They don't drive in downtown Chicago
right
at 3:30 in the afternoon.
So all that. So yes. And then yesterday I felt so bad. So yeah, I was driving. It was like midnight on a Friday, and I was just shocked at how horrible people were driving. Just horrible.
It's midnight on a Friday. You're in an 18-wheeler,
yeah,
and you're tired. You've just been to Upper Wisconsin.
Yes.
And you're on your last leg of a 20-hour journey.
Right.
And the only thing that you have left in your repertoire is the middle finger.
That's exactly right.
You gave him the wrist.
I gave him
the fist. You gave him the fist. And now you're giving him
I even crossed my fist with my wrist. And then it's like, give him the finger. I'm like, ah!
And sometimes, though, I do wonder, I do worry if you're someday going to give somebody, the wrong somebody, the finger.
And they may also have a finger.
And they may also have a
gun.
Anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, you know what? I still let the chips fall where they may. Right? I mean, what? I love the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. I've been watching I don't know how many American Horror Stories there are,
yes,
on Netflix, but I've been watching the very first one. And I saw it like back in 2011, mm-hmm, 2010. And I saw it and I'm watching it again. And I still have the same weirded out feelings from it. It is a sick show. But one of the reasons I've been compelled to watch it is because I've been watching The Politician.
Oh, which you said you really like.
Which was only like 10 episodes or something. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the cast. I loved the writing. So much so that I looked up who is the writer, producer, director. It's Brad Falchuk, who is married to Gwyneth Paltrow, who is also in The Politician. So that's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
Brad Falchuk is the writer, producer, and director of American Horror Story Season 1. So I'm looking at this and seeing some of the same themes that are in it. And one of the, you know, in this American Horror Story Season 1, one of the ghosts that's in the house is a younger male. Maybe it is late teens or whatever. And the reason he's dead is that he went on a killing rampage in his high school, and then the police came and executed him.
Hello.
Yeah, exactly. But it was, you know, it's really traumatic. I had, you know, because they reenacted the shooting scene.
Yeah.
You know, and the way they did it was really traumatic. And I imagine it must have been traumatic, really traumatic back in 2011.
I wonder.
But I don't know if it was more traumatic now because there's been so many more.
Or I wonder if it would even have flied. I wonder if it would even pass the censors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now you think?
Yeah.
Because it would just be too much.
It would be too much.
It would be too much. And you think about, you know, these kids today that I don't even know if they have, you know, certain... Do they have preparedness
right
in school in case a shooter comes?
Right,
what they're supposed to do.
Right,
and sometimes I have the feeling like if we're, you know, you and I are out and about, or if we're mm-hmm. in a mall or something, you know, you just I asked Dad the other day. I said, like, you know, if we were out together and we were like in a mall and there was like a mass shooter, you know, how would you want to go like that fast, or do you want to? And he goes, yeah, I wouldn't mind if it was that fast.
Right.
And then I go, well, that's kind of cool, because, you know, but the idea that you're just like doing some mercantile shopping of some
right.
sort, and then get gunned down, you know, while you're, you know, eating a smoothie or slipping a Slurpee, or if you're just a kid in school and you have to be prepared, you know, that's effed up.
Well, this brings me to a memory that was effed up. So on my trip where I had to go to Chicago, you know, it wasn't a 20-hour day. It was approaching my max.
I said, Julie, please come back soon, please. I don't know the horrors that'll happen.
When you wake up tomorrow morning, I will be home. But what was funny about it, I'm in a truck stop, and I'm going to the bathroom, and it's quiet. I mean, like, it's not a restaurant, it's an actual truck stop. And I'm hearing, like, commotions outside. And I'm like, well, this is so weird. What would I do? I had those thoughts. If this turns into some mad trucker.
Altercation.
Yeah, comes in, guns blaring because they didn't, you know, he's already been, you know, upset because the railroad yard wouldn't let him in to return his container.
Right.
The broker forgot to bill out. No
you
one
just,
will be
you
until
just
Monday. You've had enough. Now you're stuck in Joliet without hours with
a
trailer.
On a Friday night.
On a Friday night.
Weekend, what are you going to do?
And then you know what happens next?
You pull out a gun.
No. Do you know what happens to me next? As
you
I'm
give
thinking,
the person the finger.
The power goes out.
What?
The
truck stop?
I'm hearing commotions. I'm having weird thoughts. And all the power goes out.
That would freak me out.
I'm in the bathroom. And if I breathe, I'm going.
You're in the toilet?
I'm in the toilet. Power goes out.
Oh, my God. No, Jules.
I know, right? Gratefully, they have those... You know, it's an updated truck stop. So
generators or
whatever. Well, they have the lights that click on as a battery, I guess. So when the power goes on, at least
like
people,
emergency lights.
Yeah. So at least you can see.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, what the? And then I'm like, so, you know, hearing commotion, I'm like, what's going on out there?
So you're
lights out.
Whoa.
And I'm sitting on the toilet going, oh, no. And fear
now
doesn't come over me.
That would have been worse even to get gunned down on a pot.
Well, I thought if I raised my legs, maybe they wouldn't see me.
Totally Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, because the truth is I'm just a girl, probably one of the few in a truck stop.
Yeah.
Maybe the guy goes, there's no women in this truck stop. Maybe he's, wouldn't I be lucky? I would be so lucky to have a sexist, you know, a sexist murderer, gun, you know. He's like, yeah, totally.
Well, I'm not bothering to go into the women's
I'm not
John.
Going to the, there's no women truckers there, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, you're right, because I'm a Renaissance woman. I do a lot of things. I'm not just a trucker. But anyway, then the lights came on, and I'm
did
like,
you put your feet down on the floor.
I put my feet down on the floor, and I walk out, and I'm like, I go, that was scary. And the woman's like, yeah, no crap. That was a manager. She was like, she had stopped people from coming in.
Really?
To the place because she's like, I can't have anybody coming in and the lights are out and all that stuff.
Yeah, because who knows what could happen.
Yeah, you know, even just like a little, what do you call it? A five-finger Annie, or what do you call it when you steal something? There's a phrase.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you used to say five-finger slide of a hand.
Yeah,
I don't
finger,
know.
Five-finger
sale? I don't know.
Yeah, five-finger. Oh, my gosh. What was it? It reminds me, too, like when Dad went to a girls' restroom at a truck stop. He was like middle of the night. He was tired instead of the guys. And then he realized that he was in the girls. And then he also realized that he had these big, big shoes on.
Yes.
You know, but they were facing
the other way. I've seen it before.
He remembered he turned around.
Yeah. And sat down.
So that it looked like it was big old clodhopper girl feet. You know?
Well, the truth is, I have seen that more than once or twice. You know, I mean, I'm sitting next to somebody and I'm going, I have a size 10, sometimes a size 11, girls. I go, these shoes next to me.
Really big.
And I've walked out and an older gentleman has come out next to me.
Yeah.
And I always go,
yeah,
it was
just a mistake.
So I tell myself.
Yeah.
And the truth is, it could be he just got a little freak on.
He's got a,
or he's got a gender issue, and he's like, today I feel like a woman.
Yeah.
And you can't stop me. And you're like, dude, I don't want to stop you.
No.
I don't care.
No.
I go, I'm one of those girls that just don't care. When I got to go, I got
to
go.
Speaking of big shoes, though, you should send our people to our Instagram page.
Yes.
Because tell the story. You ran into a Yeti.
I ran into a Yeti.
Well, not a. You ran into a Yeti
footprint. I did. I saw on this concrete, literally, that looks like a footprint. And next to my foot is twice, maybe three times as big.
Yeah.
It is bizarre looking.
Yeah.
And I go, this has to be.
You Instagrammed it.
Yes.
So go to our
Christine
Instagram
Marie
page.
And Julie is our Instagram page. I try and put interesting pictures there.
Yeah. And Julie likes to do our adventures and her adventures, pictures
yes.
of our adventures.
Adventures
out in the road, out
adventures
in the world.
Adventures in life.
The adventures of Christine Marie and Julie. The adventures of life with the girlfriends.
Yes. And you were shocked, though, by it.
I was shocked.
Because it looks like a footprint.
Yeah.
And it's three times as big as mine. And you're like, I can't explain it. It is unexplainable.
It was scary.
Yeah,
People are still also viewing our 48-hour movie, which
yes.
is only 6 minutes long.
Exactly. And if you want, you can go
Thumbs
to YouTube
up.
And watch it.
Thumbs
and go
up.
To, you can go to our Facebook or our Instagram page. And there's a link there. And, you know, give it a thumbs up. Give it a heart. Like it, please. But it's 6 minutes long. I thought it was great.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I'm getting ready for the next one.
What is that?
Well, I've got, you know, I can either do the 48-hour international one in November.
Yeah.
But I'm also kind of getting ready for the Christmas movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, can I also confess one more thing?
Sure.
About my anger?
Yeah.
Because I really, I got two more things to confess, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is, we went to Jellystone yesterday. And
Jellystone, as are the guy that fixed our air conditioner, he's a young man. He's probably in his 30s. That's what I call those
young yipperstrackers.
Young, yeah. And he said, I said, thank you for fixing the air conditioner. She goes, I do it for Yogi.
Yeah.
I do it for Yogi.
I don't do it for you. I give the finger.
Yeah.
But to Yogi Bear, this fictional character, I do it for him.
He goes, I do it for Yogi. and so, okay. They
All right,
do it for Yogi.
All right, then.
And Yogi, yesterday, it was kind of sad. It's that time of year where Yogi goes to sleep.
Mm-hmm,
he
yeah.
goes and hibernates.
Yeah.
He goes in his cave. We say goodbye to him.
Yeah.
And then on Easter, he rises, just like Jesus,
yep.
from his cave.
Yep.
But we had to put him to sleep yesterday.
Yes.
And it was sad.
It was sad.
But go ahead. Tell your story about Yogi.
Well, so at
Jellystone.
At Jellystone, we were doing some cleaning up, getting ready to close it down. But, you know, we're in the midst of doing stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so crowded. And Elliot needed to go for a walk. And so I go, let's go to the cemetery down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Clear something. And I go, we'll walk Elliot there. It's like next to fields. It's a pretty nice cemetery.
Oh, yeah. It's lovely.
And
It's our go-to place when
right.
we go to Jellystone.
Yeah, it's our go-to place. We go to Jellystone to go to the cemetery. because it's too crowded. It's crazy. But we were having some heated discussions. You know, not bad. Just heated discussions about future and just like, you know, kind of getting in the midst of things, like trying to figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, I'm realizing that time is ticking away. We got to pick up Normano. We got to get going. We've got to...
And it's pouring down
and
rain.
And it's pouring down rain. It's pouring down... I mean, literally another pouring down rain
And
thing.
Also, we're in the midst of battling these... The last of the mosquitoes, which we're totally deathly afraid of, that they're having that Triple E. It sounds like a wrestler's name. Triple
yes.
E. Disease.
Extreme.
Yeah. Where one-third, if you get this disease, one-third of the people die from it.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
And so now we're totally afraid of the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
You know, and so forth. And just making you a little louder. You keep getting a little softer. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. And so I'm driving back to Jellystone. And unbeknownst to me, they've shut down Jellystone.
Yeah, we're like, what?
that? We can't get in.
In the hour that we've been gone, they've shut down Jellystone.
Because it's now trick-or-treating time.
Yeah.
And when it's trick-or-treating, no one can come in or out.
Nobody can come in. And roaches grow in, but they don't go out.
And at this point, I'm pretty focused about getting Normano, getting the hell out of here. We got stuff to do, yada, yada, yada.
And this young little princess girl who's, it's pouring rain out. She's got her thing on. And she says, I'm sorry, but we can't you lend because it's trick-or-treaters. And we can't. And you went, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yes, I did say that, just like that.
When can we get in?
When can we get in?
5 o'clock, which is like an hour and 45 minutes away.
I go.
Then you went, Jesus fucking Christ. Again.
Again. Like, you
got to be fucking kidding me. I'm like, oh, Julie's a happy camper.
I had just had my max. I couldn't take one more. I couldn't, you know, I was just in a cycle. We had been discussing being in flow and going downstream and what that really meant. And
we really honestly were.
Yeah.
We were discussing being in flow.
Yes.
Going downstream.
And what does that really mean?
And we come back into Jellystone. There's a big like a piece of machinery across the front gate. And this little girl, she's, I'm sorry, Jellystone is closed now for trick or treat. And it's pouring rain.
And I have no control over what I'm saying at this moment.
No, you don't.
I am literally, something else has embodied me.
Yeah.
It
might have been me.
It could have been. I am as far away from my inner being as I possibly could be.
Yeah.
That perfect inner being that only wants to be in love and flow.
So.
I am so far from that. And afterwards, I'm like, shish, I apologize. And I go, you know what? Bless you, sweetheart. You're on your way. You'll be fine. I mean, I'm sure.
You'll marry well.
You'll marry well. Your life will be much better. Just chill out. You'll be fine. I'm sure I'm not the first person or the last person today is going to be highly disappointed in the fact that they can't get to where they have to go.
Jesus fucking God.
I mean, if you would have looked at me, my head might have spun.
Yeah.
You know? And then I felt like, oh my God, what if they said you can't
come
anymore?
And then you called Dad up.
Yeah.
And you go, I can't get in. And Dad's like, what? He just had no understanding of it.
Yeah.
And you go, just close the place up and walk here.
Yeah. Just close the place up and walk here.
And he's like, he knows not to ask any questions.
At those moments, I really feel like I can't.
Am I still too low?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
It was me. I feel like I can't go into too much discussion.
No.
Because it doesn't make any sense. You're going to have to just trust me. This is what I need you to do. I need you to do this. You know, I need you to shut everything down and walk over here. And I told you, it took about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm getting more and more frustrated because I'm just thinking like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, do I need to apologize to this woman?
Oh, I didn't know that. I had no idea that you were contemplating that.
And I don't know if it was the right thing or the wrong thing, because it was just literally, I wasn't yelling at her. I was yelling at the situation.
Right. Oh, I don't think she knew you were yelling at her.
Yeah, and I wasn't really yelling. It was like just really this gut reaction, like,
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah.
Which, thanks for saying it 3 or 4 times, because they might demonetize us on YouTube. No. I'm laughing. That's so funny.
I'm not saying it anyway. Yeah. It's just coming from me.
It is coming from
me. It's just coming from me. I don't know why it's coming from me.
I've been watching this show Evil on CBS. Only a couple of things on real TV turn me on. This is one of them.
It's a good one.
It's a good one, you know. And
I can't wait for, is it tonight, the second one?
No, you missed it. It was Thursday night.
Oh, well, then I can see. I get
yes,
to see
can,
it.
You can see
it
anytime you
Did
want
Did you
to.
Already see the second one?
I saw it last night.
Oh,
you were,
is it good?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Not as good as the first one.
Because they go to a miracle this time, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Not as good as the first one, but still good.
Yeah.
You know, and also what I like about TV shows on real TV is that on the big channel, is that they're a complete storyline where, Netflix.
Yeah.
It really is a progression.
Well, last night I got into on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I know.
I got it because I was I watched Goliath the first 2 seasons.
Yeah.
I loved it. Billy Bob Thornton, quirky, kooky.
Mm-hmm.
The third season feels like it was done in the 70s on acid.
Hey.
And then part of it was done in the 80s on coke, sniffed off hookers' asses. I mean, it has that feel.
Right.
So I know that feeling. You never know if it's the past or the future.
Right.
You never know if it's a dream sequence or, and there's two of them. We don't know why. And then, you know, so I have no idea why I'm talking about this, except we're talking about, you know, shows. And literally, I have no idea if it, at the end of this season, I guess it'll be a complete thing, but OMG.
So is there a possibility that at the end of this season, you're going to feel as if it was all a dream sequence? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
There's a possibility. No, I think that a lot of the show that they're on ayahuasca.
Okay.
Ayahuasca.
You believe it to be so?
That's what I believe.
Is it implied? Or do you physically see them doing a ceremony?
I physically see them doing ceremonies.
I mean, you saw it. They filmed a ceremony.
Yes. Twice. Or three times.
I don't know if you're in,
Am I just seeing it somewhere in my mind?
It's implied. It's written in the script, but not really. Or is there officially a ceremony? Okay, there's officially a ceremony. That's good to know. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, then they probably could be all dream sequence.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'll have to share the last thought then I have on Evil.
Okay.
There's the last scene on Evil is our main character who's...
Black guy?
Yes. He's also...
He's very, very hunky.
He plays, I think his name is Nick Cage. But his last name is Cage.
Like Nicolas Cage?
He's a superhero on Marvel.
Yeah.
He's on Netflix. Luke Cage. Yeah. Okay. Not Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Who is just this, great looking, great actor. Nothing wrong with that tall drink of water. He's just gorgeous, right?
Are you talking about the black guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just gorgeous and acts well. And he plays a wannabe priest, which really for Mom, activates all these hidden desires that she has, being a good old Catholic girl.
Right.
And the fact that he's becoming a priest as an older man,
which
means he's had sex with women.
Yeah. Exactly. You cannot get married as a priest, but you can be married and become a priest.
Yes. That's the way you get around the law.
That's like how you can, if you got enough money, you can be Catholic and get divorced.
Yes, exactly. Not nowadays.
There's always a way around it.
That's
right.
It's sort of like, because then they go, hey, the truth is staying married to one person keeps you more financially set. So we want to not, I'm just trying to think of what they're thinking. Mm. If you don't have the money to get divorced, we really don't want you to get divorced because this time will pass. Mm-hmm. You'll start to love each other again.
You'll just become bitter roommates.
Yes. And both those things are okay for the long term. Mm-hmm. But if you've got tons of dough, what the hell? Pass it along here, get divorced, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Yeah.
Really, what is happiness anyway? And who has the... It's only in our Constitution, right, that we have the right to pursue happiness.
And if you're a Buddhist monk...
It is a pursuit. It's a long pursuit.
We're trying to pursuit... in pursuit of happiness, as my cop car says. Some people are in pursuit of the truth, in pursuit of justice. I'm in pursuit of happiness.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll take out my gun. I'm going to shoot happiness in the back and drive it to me. I don't know. I got this whole metaphor going on in my mind about happiness. It's just all crazy.
Okay.
It's all crazy. So the other thing I'm ticked off at, or so I feel bad about,
Yeah. And so maybe today you can apologize to her. We'll go back to Jellystone.
I have no intention of going there today.
I have no intention of what she looked like because she was all covered in raincoats.
She was in her 30s. She wasn't a young girl, by the way.
Oh, really?
So maybe they go, who's going to be the one that's going to disappoint all these people trying to get into their cabin?
There's a line of people.
I'll do it. Maybe she's a masochist.
Yeah.
Or a sadist. What would that be?
She'd be, does she like to hurt herself or others?
No, others.
Oh, that would be sadist.
She's a sadist.
Yeah.
She likes to hurt everybody else. Yeah. She gets off on it.
She got off on hurting you.
Yeah, that's right. She goes, I cannot wait to tell all these people.
Christ. Yes. Go ahead. You still can't get in.
Oh, sorry. I put a big old chair in front. There's no way you can get in because of the trick-or-treaters. I'm like, do you see it's pouring down rain here, right? I want to say, there's no trick-or-treaters pouring down rain. But I chose to be calm. quiet.
Remain calm and quiet.
And luckily, you guys picked the best place because it's just literally 50 feet away from the entrance, so Dad could walk to us.
Honestly, we have really one of the best places.
And we chose that space just in case shit hit the fan, and we had to leave right away.
So, and also we chose that space too because we could just throw our little kayak into the river right in back of us and just
float away,
pedal down to the
I don't know who knows where. Yeah,
I don't know.
Mississippi. I don't know.
I don't know either
where the crocodiles are. Okay, so the other thing, I was listening to Joe Rogan while I was in my travels, and this is Sober October, right?
Sober October again.
Yes, gosh, the year goes by fast.
I thought it was Rocktober.
Yeah, well, that's it too. Because, you know, rock it out. Ah. And then I'm listening to the Joe Rogan and his comedian friends are talking. And then I think to myself, my gosh, my brother's doing Sober October. He's not even aware of it. And I got this big idea. I'm like, I wonder if him and I should get into a contest. So I text him and I go, call me. And he calls me. I said, hey, you're doing Sober October. And he goes, oh, my God, that's so awesome. I go, yeah. I go, you and I should have a contest, a physical activity contest. Flat. Crickets in the background.
Really? Not interested.
Well, like, how rude is that?
Yeah.
He goes, I go, we can have some money on the table. Make it interesting. Like, $50. Something interesting.
Like, that would be interesting.
And he goes, I go, we could do $100 if you want, I said. Mm-hmm. And he goes,
he doesn't bend over for $100. He wouldn't even bend over to pick $100 up.
But it's still crickets. Wasn't getting much of a reaction. Mm-hmm. And then the reason why, he's like, well, no matter what, I'll win. He goes, I'll just win. He goes, I just know I'll beat you no matter what. I go, well, fuck you, asshole.
Yeah.
And I finally put
my... Because you know why he wasn't thinking about you? Because he was thinking about himself. If he would have fell a little bit further, he'd go like, why is Julie doing this? She must need some motivation. I could actually be selfless. Do the kid a solid by going, sure, I'll do this. Because I know that you need some motivation right now.
Right. Well, so I did pull out the sister card.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, as your older sister, I kind of need a little bit of motivation right now.
Oh.
I go, give me a fucking handicap. I go, how about 25%? He goes, well, what do you mean? Whatever I do, you got to do 25% more. And he goes,
crickets again.
Crickets. He goes, I like the handicap thing. I'm like, okay, well, give me a handicap that you think is appropriate. And he goes, double. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that. That's awesome. And then I said, we can't start today, though, because my day that I could work out is gone, and I'm going to be in the truck for the next 12 hours. And he goes, we'll start tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it, and I did 45 minutes, thinking, well, he's got to work out an hour and a half. And the parameters are, he can't count him walking his dog. Because
he walks his dog for like 2 hours a day.
Yeah. I go, you can't count that.
That's his alone time.
Yeah. I go, but if you're jogging with the dog or intentionally walking at a pace that's supposed to be burnt, you know, I count that.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, all right, good. Okay, cool, good. And so I text him at 8 o'clock at night thinking that he can't, you know, I'm trying to text him what I did late enough that he can't, like me, you know, whatever.
Run to the gym. And
So I go, I got 45 minutes in, sucker. And then he texts me back a snapshot of his iPhone or his, you know,
his Fitbit,
his Apple on his watch or what do you Fitbit? Thank you. And it says, oh, I'm just down a minute because I did 89 minutes. I'm short 1 minute. And I'm like, and so in my mind, I'm like, there's a chance I'll have to actually work out 2 hours a day because he will.
Yeah, that means 4 hours that he has to work out.
And that might be pushing it for him.
That might be pushing it because I don't know if he has 4 hours a day.
He does have an hour and a half.
He has an hour and a half.
So now
you got to do 2 hours today.
I got to do 2 hours of working out today.
Yeah.
And I'll text him at 9 o'clock. Yeah. There we go, the people. And so.
You're winning this Sober October.
I am going to win the Sober October. Or at least it'll get me going. And that's kind of what I needed because I'm just in this space where.
Yeah. We all know that we're kind of. Last year, I mean, this is how my feeling was. Last year was a totally different year than this year.
Yeah.
This year seems to, like, even last year was a lot more in flow. We knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
And this year, we're coming down to the wire on some bigger decisions.
Yes.
And we really still don't know which way do we go? Which way do we go?
Or how they're going to end.
And how to, what's the best, right. And it feels like, well, are we waiting for these big decisions? Is there some act of God or hand of God that's going to come down?
Yes.
And go, oh, here's the way that you should go. If that's the case, it's not happening.
Right.
So this is a really different year.
Yeah.
And we're still trying to be cheerful, even though Jesus fucking Christ, as Julie would say, we've had our max, we've had our fill of a lot of things.
Yes.
But it is interesting because these circumstances are rough, tough, and yet we're coaches, we're psychotherapists, we're, you know, mentored by some of the great minds.
Yes.
And yet it's still not easy, is it, Julie?
Well, no, it's not easy. And then when I hear that one of my mentors that you never see, you know, Jordan Peterson, is in rehab due to trying to get off antidepressants or anti-anxiety medicine that he was on due to his wife's terminal cancer. That is no, I don't think it's terminal anymore or whatever.
Well, at least
it was a hard year.
Yeah.
And I go,
it's a hard year for him.
Yeah. And then you realize, okay, you know, even
he knows how to handle shit.
Yeah. And yet you go, yeah, you know, this is just life.
Yeah.
Your stuff is not as easy. And then I brought out my Abraham Hicks book. And, you know, it's like, hey, we got to realize when this stuff is going down and you're feeling worse and worse and worse, you really are throwing out these massive rockets of desire. And that it's now your job to pick the next best feeling thought. And then you said to me, after that, we had a discussion going, yes. And what? I've been having better thoughts and I'm not seeing any of this stuff being resolved anywhere.
I was a pisser yesterday.
But you know what? So what?
I told my truth.
You told your truth.
Yeah.
And like you, what you've been told, that you've been known to say that, be careful, I'm in my truth telling stage.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I'm going. I always say, okay, I'm going to the movies. Those are not good times when you're in your truth telling stage.
Good times.
Exactly. So that's kind of, you know, I've had those things happen this week.
Yeah, this is life with a girlfriend.
Yeah, there have been fun things that have happened, that have occurred, but I can't remember them. There was, I asked you yesterday, I go, Mom, we were talking about something, and I said, oh, that person can't say anything with their mouth full. And you're like, oh, what was it, full of dick? And I go, oh, yeah, that's so funny. And then, but I can't remember what that was about.
Can't remember who it was either. But you're right. You said that they say they can't say something because their mouth is full.
Yeah.
And I did say that. Yeah. I knew what it was full of.
I go, oh, it's full of this, right? I go, yeah. Yes, that's exactly right. It's full of this. You're so right. And so, but I can't remember what it's about.
Yeah.
You know?
So no jokes, people.
No jokes, people. I mean, the only thing that's been going on is that this weekend, Normano was supposed to have the potential to have like a mini high school reunion.
Yeah.
And
Robbie Robertson, who is just a player in a band.
Right.
That moved to California, and he did some kind of Frankie Valli thing, and he's an actual
professional musician.
He's not like I don't know, Placido Domingo.
No.
But he's just an actual
Placebo Domingo.
Isn't that his name?
Isn't it Placido? Placido?
Placido Domingo.
I don't know. I like Placebo Domingo.
I like Placebo.
That's a great band name. What's your band? Hey, you know, at the next, you know, what's that big concert in Chicago every year that happens? You know,
Chicago Ella?
No. Oh, not Clay Coach. No, what happened? You know, that big
Burning Chicago.
Burning Man. Okay, no, Mom. You know what I'm talking about?
Chicago Renaissance? No, yeah. Well, I don't know.
I know. But I like Placebo Domingo. That's my band name. Okay, that's about as far as I can take it. But, you know, Normano, even though you were trying to push him along, he did not want to go.
He did not. I gave him you and I both, you volunteered to take his loads. Yeah. We gave him every opportunity to go to this mini 50th year reunion where They were all going to go to Litchfield and hear Robbie Robertson in concert.
Yeah.
Have a, you know, go get drunk and do all this sort of stuff. And Amy, who I won't say her last name, but one of Norm's Litchfield friends, I mean, did everything she could to guilt him, to shame him.
Yeah.
What other kind of things do women do? Women do. Guilt, shame.
Support, kind of nudge.
Silent treatment into coming.
Yeah. And of course, he never picked up on that.
Yeah. Which is great for him.
Yeah. This is why he's so happy as an older guy. He's
really?
Well, oh, wait, your mom was mad at me?
Really?
What?
Really?
Yeah, did you not pick up on the cues or the clues?
Your mom, Christine was like traumatized.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Oh, she's really that upset with me, huh? I go, yeah, Normano. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, man, this is what it looks like going downstream, being connected with your inner being.
Yeah, but so he didn't go.
No.
But he did have, he did get in contact Jed Dietz.
Yeah.
Which is his old roommate. And they went 50 years ago. It was, they went to the Kentucky Derby together.
Right.
And Jed there was a picture of that Jed had put in his Facebook page, mm-hmm. and had reminded Norm that he and Norm left at around midnight 50 years ago to go to the Kentucky Derby in Louisville. Yeah. And around 4 o'clock in the morning, they ran out of gas, which makes total sense because Norm would not have had hoped to get to someplace on fumes.
Right. Oh, exactly. That's,
I remember just like going to California and back and coming back home with a nickel left.
Of gas left.
No, just a nickel.
Just a nickel.
Just a nickel.
Because Dad would have thought, hey, guys.
We did
perfect
it.
Perfect time. Perfect.
That would have been Norm.
Yeah. Just enough money to get there and back. Lovely. Yeah,
exactly. And so how they ran out of gas at 4 and they found a gas station, but it didn't open till like 8 a.m. And so they were sleeping on the ground. And then he said that we finally made it to Louisville, but we never saw a horse because we never made it past this one party area where everybody was just outside partying, and that's where they stayed. And Norm goes, I do not remember that at all.
Yeah.
But it's funny, you go, I remember that because it was the first time that he had left me.
Ah.
We were dating, and it was the first time he had just, like, left me. Like,
yeah.
I'm going with this guy to this. I went, but
we're dating.
We're dating.
We're together now.
Yeah. And, like, and he just left, and I went, well, okay, well, this is enough to break up over. That's what I thought.
Which is so funny because you didn't break up.
50 years later,
yeah.
No.
And in his text, Jed says that you guys were inseparable. That's when you started being inseparable.
Right.
And now I know why, because you're like what, Norman? You're going someplace without me? Well, I thought we were together.
And then I just thought, well, then I guess we're broken up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually thought that.
Isn't it interesting?
Because I thought, well, you don't just go to the Kentucky Derby and leave your girlfriend.
No. What I thought of this whole conversation, though, with this text.
Yeah.
He then lets you know that he's been living with a woman for 7 years.
Jed.
Yeah. Jed is.
Yeah.
And that she's 20 years younger.
Right.
And that her name is Julie.
Yes.
And I go, well, that's just too weird.
That's just weird.
Because it would be like him dating me.
I know.
And I'm like, oh, that's just crazy.
He adds in the text, he said, either she's going to keep me young or she's going to kill me.
And I think that you have said that about me. Julie, us being here together, either you're going to make us feel younger or you're going to kill us. I don't know which one it is. Probably a little bit of both. Just a little bit of both. But I was a little bit weirded out. And but there would have been a funny comeback line in that text. But I think it's just implied. Like, yeah, okay. Yes, you're living with someone who is literally like my daughter. That's freaky. Same name and everything.
It was, yeah. That's
and since
exactly
the
right.
last time you guys saw each other, I just was born, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a chance that it could have been me.
I mean, it was really weird. Yeah, it was wild. Wow. Mm,
that's good.
So sweet.
Yeah, so sweet. Good times.
Good times.
Good times.
This will be something we can talk about on our 50 podcast.
Exactly. Which I'm trying to get that all together, and so that's kind of it. I want to tell you that one of the things that you've had a problem with in the last 2 years, 2 weeks that you've been very mad at me about, I got I got validation that I was correct.
Gilbert O'Sullivan.
You were correct on that.
Yes.
You made sure that I knew that
you
was wrong.
You made sure that I was going to be wrong. That's what
no,
you were
I was like, I, you go, okay, here's my story, then I'll tell them your story.
Okay.
My story is you have been upset with me because I can't find corn stalks anywhere.
Right.
And you're like, I want corn stalks. And you've been like, God damn, what kind
I
of corn
demand
stalks?
Corn stalks,
I,
people.
I've got pumpkins. Where are my corn stalks? Please, my corn stalks, please. And then I just said, I go, girlfriend, I go, if you look around, no corn is being harvested. It's still green. I'm thinking that.
Too much rain.
Also, they got it in late. We just don't have any corn to get yet. And then you're like, you're just wrong, Julie. You're just wrong. And we drove by one storefront and they had corn stalks, but they were totally green. Green corn stalks. And last night in the news, they said people are very upset that they have no corn stalks in front of their homes because of the weather, because of the planting season being so late in the year. And I'm like, yes, that's right.
Suck it, mother.
Yes. My little tiny victories I have.
Suck it, mother.
That's right. In my demon voice. My head spins around. I'll take my wins as I can get them. Now, your win, I will say. There is this very 70s song, I guess it was.
Yes. Because I used to cry to it when you were,
it's a very
when
sad
you were a
song.
Little baby.
Yeah, I'm sure many, many children heard this song and just started weeping.
You would always just be in the back seat of our big old car, just weeping when you heard this song.
Probably on the floor.
It was Alone Again Naturally.
Yeah. I'm sure I have vivid memories of me being, because back in those days, no kid had...
For you had freedom.
Yeah, we have freedom.
Yeah.
You didn't have to have...
You were in the back seat. That was good enough.
And I think I was on the floor.
That, then you were totally protected.
Yeah. Because I imagine myself always being in the floor of the back seats. Yeah. I don't know why. They're like perfect size. You're just sitting there in the back seat, away from your parents because you're tired of them.
It's like your little tent.
Exactly. And I can remember there's like 3 or 4 songs that I hear would just make me cry.
Yes.
I think Alone Naturally.
Alone Again Naturally. Alone,
yeah. You know, he talks about being left at the altar.
Yes.
Talks about his dad dying, his mother dying. I'm like, this is just horrible.
Yeah.
Cats in the Cradle, the Silver Spoon was another one.
Yes.
Goodbye, my love, it's hard to die when there are birds singing in the sky. I'm like, who writes this stuff?
Yes.
That made me sad. It made me cry as a little kid.
Yeah.
But it
was so sad. We were listening to Alone Again Naturally, and you were crying.
Yes.
And it was so sad because, and I was like, 50 years ago.
Yes.
You were crying to that song.
Yes.
And here you are crying to it again.
Yes.
It was just like, how much can one mother take? It was just...
My baby.
Oh, he's crying. He's crying
and
again.
And not only that, then you proceeded to play the song over and over again in the house. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. There was this other song that you were
Nothing
proceeding.
Nothing exceeds like excess for
What
me.
Was that one song that you were playing about a month and a half ago?
Paul.
Yes.
Williams.
Yes. This is a depressing song too.
Yeah.
He goes, when not even your smallest of dreams come true. Yeah. And you're like, Jesus
smallest
Christ.
Smallest of dreams don't come true. I can't take all the madness the world has to give. But I won't last a day without you.
Yeah, another depressing song. And, So anyway,
I calls them as I see them.
But I for sure thought that one song, Alone Again Naturally, was by the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have put money on it.
Yeah, you did put money on it, girlfriend.
I did, and I lost.
You lost.
And then in my mind, I even hear the Bee Gees harmony in the background.
Right.
And then once I saw who I thought you meant two names, Radio Sullivan, what is it?
Gilbert O'Sullivan.
I heard Mom say Gilbert and Sullivan's. I'm like, Gilbert and Sullivan's wrote this?
Pirates of Penzance. Like
Gilbert and Sullivan's wrote this? And you're like, no, Gilbert O'Sullivan. I think he's Irish. I'm like, oh, okay. And he is. And then I never heard the Bee Gees ever again in the background.
Right.
That's how the brain works. It's crazy.
The brain fills things in.
It does.
That's why you really can't count on.
No, I can't count on your brain for Jack.
No. I mean, that's why people, you know, they go, I know what I saw. They go, really?
You really did? You know what you saw?
You think you did?
Kinda.
I don't know. Is the story you're telling yourself? Is that the narrative?
Because we can go on this path. We can have verification.
Yeah.
Because you and I have seen many things completely different.
Yeah. Like what?
No, just, yeah, you know, just stuff.
Aliens?
Yeah, no, no. I'm more thinking of like perspectives. Oh.
Oh, sure.
You know,
sure.
That person was so mad. I go, oh no, he just probably had a bad.
I mean,
day.
I have a whole story. When I, you know, when an incident happens, I have a whole story.
And you like to fill in the blanks,
yeah,
because you like to make it interesting. Because you're a writer at heart. I'm more like everybody just really wants to have an easy downstream day. They're not mad at me. I'm just another kink in their chain.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right link in their chain?
Mm.
Kink in their chain, kink in their feather. I don't know. One of those
your Julie-isms.
exactly. And so that's basically my week.
Yeah.
Nothing else more to say. So how was that Nikki Glasser thing? Let's do a little rating really quick.
I did see Nikki Glasser.
Yeah. One thing I'm going to say, and I do want to throw this up for discussion with you, because we are thinking about taking a mini retirement. Meaning this, that's what I'm calling it. This is what the millennials call it.
Oh, yeah. They call it
mini retirement.
Mini retirement.
Yeah, it's like you're going to take a month or two off now,
yeah.
Do some stuff,
yeah.
Go back to work and so forth. Now, we're thinking about doing this when Dad gets his other knee done.
We're thinking about forcing him to get his other knee done so we can do this.
So we can do this.
Yeah.
He doesn't
really know that. We're having a meeting today.
Yeah, to talk about this.
And we're like, Norm, you have to go in, get a procedure. You're like, what?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Dad is pretty much firm on this. That he does not want to go to a convalescent home after his surgery. And you're pretty firm that he will go to a convalescent home after his surgery. Because his last surgery that he had, you feel was just way too much for you. You're just like, this is
peed myself a little. I love the way I sound. I love the way I'm coming off here today.
Well, it was just way too much for you.
You know, Norm, you're going to have to go to either that or me.
Yeah, one of us.
One of us has to get out of here.
Yeah, because I can't
take
it.
You were a pain in the ass.
Exactly.
It was the first 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. That's right. All I'm asking for.
Right. Well.
And just think of it, Norm is going to a spa.
Yes. And you're like, and he's really pretty adamant. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And so then you're talking about this idea that, wait a minute, maybe we can just pretend he's having his knee done, because we're not 100% sure he should have his knee done.
Right.
Because, first of all, he had one knee that was totally messed up and needed to get done.
Right.
And it now works better than it did before.
Yes.
But it still doesn't work as well as the old knee of the other leg. Like, he still feels...
Right. It's not perfect.
It's not perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, what really...
So now he's got, you know, but he doesn't know if he wants to have two imperfect knees.
Right. And the biggest deal is he can't put any weight on his knees.
Right.
Which is pretty odd.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, so he can't kneel.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a good Catholic person.
Well, the doctor said, you know, I've heard other people complain about that. What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Our doctor is like that.
She's like
you
that.
You tell them a couple of complaints. She goes, yeah, I've heard a lot of people your age complain about that stuff. Yeah.
I got this aches and pain. She goes, put some pain medicine on it.
Yeah.
Well, try that. See if that helps.
Like, oh, okay. So there's
take
really.
A couple of aspirin.
Yeah. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. This is my new norm. This
I remember saying to her, like, and who do we see about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
God is good.
God is good. Well, when you realize that you potentially have the opportunity to live to be 120 years old, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I better start taking care of myself.
Yeah, like, and is it possible to take that good of care of yourself?
Yeah.
That those last, we know we can stay alive.
Some people really do take really good care of themselves. Some people really do. I'm not kidding you.
They feel it's a job.
Yeah. And see, my thought, unfortunately, for like the last 50 years was, how do I get away with, how do I push the line?
Yeah.
The furthest I can push it without having to ever see me under any kind of doctor's care or medical stuff.
That's right. You've been always like, I want to stay away from any medical model.
Because once you're in there, you're in there. You're
and
in
that
like
is
Slim.
True.
Yeah.
That is true. Okay. Yeah. You're like, once they got you.
Once they got you.
Because like Doug has been struggling physically for a little bit.
Douglas.
Yes.
Yes. He's been struggling.
And has been avoiding going to a doctor. Mm-hmm. Wanted to go to immediate care, but they wouldn't take his insurance. He just wants to. And so finally he had to go to his real doctor, which he hates to do. Mm. But then once they got him, they're like, we're going to do all the tests we've been wanting to do for you for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they had him. And so they just like, you know, doing it. Now he's in the medical model.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's got to take care of himself, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So what are you going to do?
Mm.
Life sucks.
Where does this lead us to? Where were we?
Oh, I was going to, my goal was, what was my goal? No, I don't know. Oh, about the taking the vacation off.
Yes.
So, but I do wonder, like, can we just pretend to get his knee done?
Mm-hmm.
Or can we say something else is going on? Mm-hmm. And Dad, in his true honesty, goes, can't we just say we want to take the month off, like, at work? And I'm like, I don't know how it's going to fly. I hate the whole month of December or January.
No, January.
January
off.
Which nobody likes to work in January.
Nobody does.
Nobody likes to work in January.
Oh, sure, Norm. Sure. And there won't be any penalties.
There won't be any penalties.
There's no price to pay for that.
No.
Everybody's going to be fine with
that. Yes. Now, but having your knee done, there's like, oh, sure. You know.
The only time we could get it done was this time.
You know, we can definitely have full 2 weeks off without anybody putting pressure on me working.
Yeah.
And then, oh, well, now Julie can help out a little bit.
Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah. You know. So, yes, there is this potential that we've got to come up with this big elaborate story.
Yeah.
But are not, you know, we'll doubt after the knee's done and see.
And be in and go to a convalescent center.
That's right.
But here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say this. I don't want people to come across as me being cruel. Nobody realizes that Norm is like this. He's like this guy that like nurses love to take care of.
Okay.
No,
you're right.
Am I right?
You're right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll fawn over him.
Yeah.
And they'll like, and he'll say, oh, now you can have 3 meals a day. Would you like a back massage?
Right.
What about a snack?
Right.
I mean, it's not like it's purgatory for him.
Oh, no.
This is heaven.
Right.
But, oh, no, he wants to sit in his recliner.
Yep.
In front of the TV.
He wants to have
ring
Netflix.
The bell.
He wants to have cable. Ring the bell. And then you're like, and then you're always like, Julie, we need to get the hell out of here. I can't take your dad anymore. He's driving me fucking crazy.
I know.
I can't take him. We got to go. Got to go now. Because it's just like this. Oh,
I know.
Julie, help me get up. Julie, help me. Help me, Julie. Get up. Get up. I can't get up. Got to go to the bathroom. Got to help me up. And you're like, oh, God. Oh, God.
You know, that just happened last year, was it?
Yes.
Has it been a year? Oh,
year
my God.
July.
Oh, my God.
So he's due.
Oh,
he's
my
due.
God.
You're supposed to do one a year, right? Or something like
that? This is craziness.
I know.
This is
how
just
time,
crazy.
How fast time goes
no,
by.
No, but this is like, is this the new norm? And then you say, you know, everybody's supposed to live to 120?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you'll have new hips, new knees, possibly with all the arthritis that you have in your hands. Maybe they can give us new hands, you know? We will literally, at the end of the day, our consciousness will be transformed into a robot.
Just downloaded into a bot.
And wouldn't it be horrible, though, if because we download our consciousness, which basically does hold all our pain centers, we still feel the pain anyway.
Yeah.
We've been programmed to feel pain.
Yeah.
Because at our core, our suffering makes us human.
Because at our core, Catholicism makes us feel the pain.
Exactly. Well, they say you could always... it's okay to have pain and suffering. You just don't want to suffer over the suffering. Mm-hmm. That just doubles. It's like a, you know, double mint gum kind of thing. You know.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Just like it's a little tough not to suffer over the suffering, though.
I know. And that's why I think we were attracted to Jordan Peterson, is because he allowed himself the expanse to feel his suffering.
Yeah.
And that, and then to admit that life is hard. And then to also admit that life does get better. Like, life can,
it
even
can.
Globally.
It may or may not. It can.
Like, even globally, mm-hmm. we are seeing points of things getting better.
Right.
And, like, we have evidence that if we can raise everybody's standard of living, the first thing they do is they don't want to live in squalor. You know, they want to live better.
Right.
And take care of things better. And you're like, oh, so the more money we have, the better people, like, treat what they have? Because, I mean, at a certain level.
Yeah.
Because you want, you, there's a little bit, a tiny bit of hope.
Yeah. And I know you and I helps. Saw this woman, maybe she was about 5'2", and probably about 92, and she was pushing carts at Walmart.
Yes.
And, you know, she had the little star Walmart vest on.
Yes.
And I immediately told a tragic story.
Yes.
And you went, shut up, mother. You don't even realize that this is her social. She enjoys doing this. This is what she's chosen to do because she likes to get out. She likes to move around. She wants to be engaged in her life. She wants to feel empowered. And I'm like, all right, whatever you want to tell yourself. But I did not. That was not the story that I saw.
Yeah.
I was going to hand her a few bucks.
Yeah. Like, girlfriend, this could not be what you wanted to do, you know? I'm like, well, she didn't have a Julie in her life. No.
True. So, well, shit, that's true.
Yeah. So, girlfriend, how was the show today?
It was great.
It was great.
I'm questioning it, but overall, it was great.
Great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.